And then also, if you have your tithes and offerings, we just want to pray over that. You can give those anytime during the service. You know, God's given everything to us. And when you give back unto Him, He will bless it and multiply it. So, Father, thank you so much for your ability to give into your kingdom, Lord. We do it in faith. We do it with a cheerful heart. And, Father, we do it because we love you. And, Lord, we want to honor you with our offerings, our first fruits, and our tithes. So, Lord, as we put them in the seed planter, we call them blessed, increased, multiplied, and abounding to us and to do the work of your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And then for the men, we're going to be meeting for the Barnabas group on the 26th, Saturday, 8:30 a.m. I want to read a quote to you. I thought this was interesting. It was the Lord who put into my mind, I could feel His hand upon me, that fact that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. All who heard of my project rejected it, with laughter, ridiculing me. There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit, because He comforted me with rays of marvelous inspiration from the Holy Scriptures, from His journals, Christopher Columbus. You know, and simply, when God shows you something, a person of the world or the world, they're not going to understand it. They're going to think it's crazy. I mean, think about it. God uses the foolishness of someone standing in a place like this, preaching the Word of God, and that's the means that He uses to get His message out. He uses the foolishness of preaching to fill with knowledge His people. And we've been talking about the mind of Christ. And we're going to continue to talk about the mind of Christ. You know, your minds, it's like the control center of your life. And in order for your bodies to go in the right direction, your minds have to have new information. Think about this. Before Christ, all you had was the information that you had. But when you came to Christ, now he has a new kingdom. He has different ways of doing things. He has different methods. How many know that God's kingdom is different than the world? You know, in the world, it says, let the weak say I'm weak. But in God's kingdom, the weak says I'm strong. You know, they're contrary to one another. So listen to these statements. The mind of Christ is the revelation of the mind of God to those who believe in Him. It's the revelation of the... Did you know that God wants to share His thoughts with your thoughts? Yeah, I know the Bible says God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but you know what? Jesus is an elevator. Yeah, His thoughts might be higher, but you know what? He brings us up. So the mind of Christ is the revelation of the mind of God to those who believe in Him. If you're going to obey the call of God, you're going to have to think like God thinks. You must think in terms of faith and possibilities. And I know I said this before, but I'm just repeating it. You've got to think in terms of faith and possibilities. Noah, I want you to build a boat because it's going to rain. What's rain? Don't worry about what it is, just build a boat. How many know that Noah had to condition his mind a certain way to carry out what God wanted him to do? David, I want you to kill a giant. Okay. Do you realize that a shepherd boy did what no soldier could do? Because he had a different mindset. Daniel, I want you to be a politician in a foreign kingdom. He gets exiled to Babylon, and the king was looking for some people who could learn all the science and all the math and all that stuff in his kingdom. And Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were 10 times wiser than their peers. And when everybody else was eating the king's dainties, Daniel was eating vegetables. And his countenance was better. And when they said, "You cannot pray," Daniel prayed. Went to his house, opened the windows and the doors. He had a different mindset. His mindset was, "I'm not going to let the world dictate what I should do or how I should do it, but I'm going to listen to God." And yeah, Daniel was different, but he also became second in command. He was over the 120 satraps in Babylon, second to the king. Because of his mindset, because of how he thought. To live like God wants you to live, you must think like he thinks. We have to let the word of God govern our actions now. Amen? When you come into God's kingdom, he gives you a different set of rules. How many has ever had a new job where they give you an employee handbook? Right? And it contains all the policies, all the rules of that company. Well, God's given us a handbook. And it shows us how to live successfully on this earth. When you apply God's principles to your life, you'll be a success. And to have the mind of Christ is to think, act, and speak like Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that if you encountered a possessed person, you know, if Gabriel encountered a possessed person, he could tell the demons to go and they would have to go in Jesus' name. How many believe that you've been authorized by Jesus to have authority over all the demonic world? Well, when you have the mind of Christ, you have these things. Tonight, I want to talk about how we develop the mind of Christ. What's the primary way that we develop our minds to think and act and speak like Jesus does? It's called what? Read the Bible, or renewing the mind, right? And when you renew your mind, you're transformed. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want to focus on developing the mind of Christ tonight. And what I say by when I mean develop, it means to grow in the knowledge of it. It means to hunger and thirst. You know, if you don't have a desire to know God, you're not going to grow in God. So if you don't have a desire to know, you won't grow. Because knowledge, our growth in God has to do with our knowledge, what we know about God. If you only know something small about God, you limit what God can do through you. But as we grow in the knowledge of God, God can do greater things. What does the Bible say? To whom much is given, much is what? You know, as a minister, I'm going to face a greater judgment because people sat and listened to me speak. And if I didn't lead them in the way that they should, I'm going to be held responsible. So that's why I just let the Bible preach itself. I can't go wrong preaching the word. Amen? In Romans chapter 8, we'll start off with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Say, I'm not condemned. But notice the qualifier. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, when a person gets born again, they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God expects them to walk differently than what they were walking prior to accepting Jesus. Right? Your walk is how you live, how you treat people, what you do. Okay? Now, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you're still letting the flesh, your senses, dictate to you how things are, you still experience pressure from circumstances, then you might feel condemnation. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. The law of sin and death, it brings condemnation. Because the law of sin and death says you can't be good enough to be righteous. You can't be good enough to earn God's gift. And the law of sin and death presents an impossible situation because no one can fulfill all the law. But when you walk according to a different law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Say, there's life in Christ. Did you know that Christ is the life of the party? For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There it is again. A person who is not born again, who does not have Jesus as their Savior, is bound by the flesh. Okay? You're going to do what the flesh wants to do, whether you like it or not. Now, a person who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you've asked him into your heart, now you have a choice. You can either walk in the flesh or you can walk in the Spirit. Now you have a choice as to how you respond and how you do things. But a person who doesn't know Christ, they don't have a choice, but a person who knows Christ, they now have a choice. How are you going to live? How are you going to respond? You know, before, you got back at your enemies. Now you got to love your enemies. Right? Now notice verse 6. We're going to get into the mind part here. To be carnally minded is what? Death. The carnal mind is the mind that allows the flesh and the senses to dictate your behavior. Okay? So, if you're following the flesh, you're going to mind the things of the flesh. You're going to do things to please your flesh. You're going to do things to make your flesh feel good. But they that are after the Spirit, you mind the things of the Spirit. So now your focus shifts. And now within you, you have a desire to get involved in spiritual things. You have a desire now to do what the Holy Spirit wants. You have a desire to carry out things according to the Spirit. How many has ever done something wrong And on the inside of you, something was saying, this is wrong. Yeah, we've all been there, haven't we? Well, that was the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention, but our minds were so used to doing what the flesh wanted to do that we miss what the Spirit was trying to tell us or trying to lead and guide us. Notice verse 7. You think God likes the carnal mind? The carnal mind is what? Enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This is where, you know, every sin that Satan committed originates in the flesh. Pride. He thought that he was going to be greater than God. I'm going to exalt myself above God. Really? Well, that didn't work out so well. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. Say, I'm not in the flesh. Why aren't you in the flesh? Because you're in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God dwells in you. And it's the Holy Spirit who will help you overcome the flesh. He'll help you start to do what's right. You know, when a person gets born again, you're going to start to treat people differently. That doesn't mean you're not going to make a mistake. You know, being born again doesn't mean that you'll never miss it, you'll never make a mistake. It doesn't mean that you'll never do anything wrong. But when you do something wrong, God will work with you because you repent quicker. Amen? So, what you set your mind on, you know, what you desire, what you purpose, what you think on, what your appetites and impulses are, you know, the flesh has a voice, doesn't it? When you're tired and your alarm clock goes off, your flesh says, oh, shut that off. I don't want to get up, right? Or your flesh will say, oh, I'm so hungry, feed me. Or your flesh will say, I'm so tired. Or your flesh will say, I can't stand that person. And, you know, that's how our flesh is. But our spirit operates according to the law of love. It does what Jesus would do. I want you to go with me to Mark 10 for a minute. Mark 10. If you want to develop the mind of Christ, you're going to have to change the image you're looking to. Because really, your mind has to do with your imagination, doesn't it? What's an image? It's a picture. Satan gave you a picture. He told you what you were, what you could do, what you couldn't do, and he would lead you down a dead-end road and leave you there and then beat you over the head because you're there. Because Satan is a dirtbag. He's the father of lies. Okay? So when you come to Christ now, God gives you a different image. It is the original image that you're supposed to have. He did away with the old image, and he gives you a new image. Brand new. And depending on what image you look to, that's what will be produced in your life. Mark 10, verse 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? I want you to look at this mindset for just a minute. He was used to being able to do something to get something. Okay? If I do this, I'm going to get this. Because this is the story of a rich young ruler. Now, those are three good qualities: rich, young, and a ruler. Right? That's what everybody wants to be: rich, young, and a ruler. And Hollywood tries to keep themselves as young as they can. And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor your father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these I have observed from my youth." Man, this guy, I'm telling you, if you were to know this guy, you would say, he is a good person, he's blessed of God, he's rich, he's young, he's a ruler. He's got it going on. But I want you to see that this rich young ruler, it's all about himself. It's all about what he can do. He didn't know that salvation was a gift. There's nothing you can do to earn a gift. You can only receive it or reject it. And he answered and said unto him, "Master, I have all these I have observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. You know what? Jesus knows your motive. He knows your heart. He knows you better than you know yourself. And there are times when Jesus is just going to look at you and he's going to love you, because that's why he came. "I've come to seek and save that which is lost." I want you to notice Jesus looked at him and Jesus loved him. Just because you do something wrong, that doesn't make God stop loving you. One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatsoever you have, and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross, and follow me. Now, how many know that God loves giving? And giving produces treasure in heaven and on earth. Because if you have treasure in heaven, you can withdraw it by faith. Okay? Jesus was offering this man to become a disciple. He said, "Take up the cross and follow me." Now, all Jesus had to do with others is walk by him and say, "Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And they had the mindset that they didn't know what they were getting into, but they knew that there was something about Jesus, and they wanted to follow him, so they did. We're getting into his mindset. What was he thinking? Jesus gave him one instruction. Verse 22, "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." He valued his possessions more than the word of God, more than the will of God. Because you know what Jesus told his other disciples that were following him? He said, "If you leave houses, fathers, mothers, sisters, brethren in this lifetime, I'll give you 100-fold. You know, I'm a testimony of that. My parents are sitting here. And there came a time in my life where I felt like I had to leave Illinois and go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I had to leave some things in order to get some things. But my mindset was, I wanted to please God no matter what. I desperately wanted to do what God wanted me to do. And so I left. And I can remember when they left back for Illinois, and I was in my apartment all alone, and I just was laying on the floor weeping. And that night, it was a Wednesday, and I went to Rhema Bible Church for the first time. Biggest church I'd ever been in up to that point. And I was sitting on the front row next to an aisle, okay? And I enjoyed the service, but while I was sitting there, someone from my hometown, it was actually a couple, they came over to me, and I had recognized the lady. She went to the church that I went to, and she was married now, and so they invited me out to dinner. But what I experienced was this: wherever I went for God, I always had someone that acted like a parent to me, that gave me food, that took me in everywhere I went. So when you weigh the value of doing God's will versus giving up something you think is valuable, listen, God, what God has is far more valuable. But if in your mind you can't let go of this thing that God's saying to let go, you're going to lose out. And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Does that mean you should never be rich? No. How many know that Jesus was rich? Poor people don't have treasurers. Amen? And it's just, he didn't have a place to lay his head because he spent all of his time traveling. For 3.5 years, he traveled intensely. But I want you to see the mindset. I want God to give you a picture of what this ruler was thinking. He thought the riches of this world were more valuable than the riches of God's kingdom. And therefore, he couldn't let go of this to get this. But sometimes, if you want this, you're going to have to let go of this. You're going to have to do it by faith. Listen, God is going to hold you responsible for what he's told you. So in his mind, you know, he thought he was self-reliant. He didn't feel like he had to rely. Go with me to Acts 26. Acts 26. You know, Paul was having a conversation here let's just pick it up at verse 23. He was talking to Festus, who was like a governor. And he said that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first and should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning has made you mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knows of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost you persuade me to be a Christian." He was almost persuaded. Apparently for him, there wasn't enough information to believe. And Paul almost, you know, you ever witness to someone and say, "Whew, You almost got me. You almost caught me. But you know what? Your mind can be changed. Aren't you glad that God gave us the ability to change our minds? You know, just like your car can be washed, your mind can be renewed. It can be rejuvenated. God can enhance our minds. Paul said in verse 29, and Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also that all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. You know, God has given us the ability to turn our minds. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, as for you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father. Serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. How many have a willing mind? Isaiah 1:19 says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Sometimes God will ask you to do something because he just wants to see if you're willing or not. Abraham, I want you to sacrifice Isaac, your only son. Okay. Now, God is not going to see how willing you are on the very first thing that he speaks to you. Amen? Once you've gotten to know God a little bit, and once you've gotten to know how he thinks and how he operates, he's going to ask more of you. You know, Paul had to decide. Paul was shown how much things he was going to suffer. And he had to decide if he was going to experience the suffering, go through the suffering to obey God. I personally believe that Paul suffered because he sowed a lot of suffering. And God can't go against his word, and what we sow is what we shall reap. God is not mocked. He's not a respecter of persons. And then it goes on to say in 1 Chronicles 28:9, it says, for the Lord searches every heart and understands the intention of every thought. Say, God knows my thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. But our minds can be turned. We can have a willing mind. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 12. Can I just give you a few warnings? What we're about to get into for the next few minutes is a wrong mind. You know, a person's mind can be used for good or evil. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 8. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Another translation says, a twisted mind. You know, if your mind is twisted, a twisted mind means it's turned in a way that it shouldn't be. It's all jumbled up. It's all mixed together. It's all mixed up. And nothing's clear. It's all, you know, like a pretzel. Okay? A twisted mind is going to be despised of God. Go to Isaiah 32:6. How do you avoid having a twisted mind? What's going to help you to untwist your mind if it's been twisted? The truth, right? Only the truth and the power of God can untwist your mind so that you can think straight. You know the story of the prodigal son? How many know the story of the prodigal son? Okay? He had to come to his right mind before he could make his way home. Because he was so caught up in the way he was living, it was so a part of him that he just got into it. Finally, you know, here he is in the pig pen. And he's sitting in the mud, and he's hoping to eat just what the scraps that the pigs are eating. Now, here's the thing about God. God will let you go as low as you want to go. Well, God allowed me to end up in this pig pen. No, God didn't allow it. You chose it. Because why? His mind was twisted. He was thinking incorrectly, and when you think incorrectly, you're going to go in the wrong direction. A twisted mind is a mind that's patterning after the wrong image. Isaiah 32:6. For the vile person will speak villainy or folly, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy. Boy, that'd be like a tongue twister. And to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. A deceived mind, or a mind that plots iniquity, it's going to live in a godless way and speak falsely about God. Right now, I'm just telling you the mind to avoid. Okay? Let's go to another one. Isaiah 44, verse 20. He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? He's talking about a deceived mind. A deceived mind will lead you astray, and you won't be able to deliver yourself. You know, a deceived mind doesn't know that they're deceived. They think that they're obeying the truth, until they're faced with the truth. Then they have a choice to make. Am I going to do the truth, or am I going to follow this deception? Let's go to Romans 1:28. Romans 1:28. You know, What we have to do as believers is we have to fall in love with God's word. Your word I did eat because it was sweet. How many has ever tasted something good? When you taste something good, do you want more of it? All right? Taste and see that the Lord is good. If you experience God's goodness, you're going to want them to be good more, right? Because something good, you want more of, okay? Now, Romans 1:28. This is talking about people when they get so twisted in their minds, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate. That means strife. They always want to argue. Deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. What did they do? They didn't retain God in their knowledge. So they didn't value the truth of God. So then what happens? They get turned over to a reprobate mind, can't tell the difference between right and wrong. Go with me to Ephesians 4, and I'm going to close for tonight. Look at verse 20. If your mind has been mixed up, it can be straightened out right now. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. I want you to know the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. That means, guess what? Time to change. Who wants to change tonight? Tonight we can change, you know, and it starts with a willing mind. Lord, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. I'm willing to have what you want me to have. I'm willing to be what you want me to be. You know, that was my prayer. I didn't know what God wanted for my life. And when I was working for Horizon House, I would walk home a lot. And I would pray, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. And whatever you want me to be, I'll be. And you know what? I let God tell me those three answers. Where, what, and who. I didn't have any preconceived ideas. I was willing to do whatever. If that meant that God was going to call me to clean toilets, those would have been the best toilets. And I did clean toilets, by the way. So what does God want for you tonight? Where's your mind? What's your focus been on? What you've been focusing on is the fruit that's growing on your tree. If you've been focusing on the wrong thing, you know, that fruit is going to be sour. It's going to give you a stomach ache. It's not, you know, don't put that fruit in a pie and give it to me. Or are you willing to change and be the person that God calls you to be? Do what he wants you to do. And if that means, even if that means giving up something you love. The question is, in your mind, who do you love more? Do you love that or do you love God more? Now, this may not apply to everybody. Amen? And I'm not gonna call you up and pray for you. I want everybody to stand up. If you've been prone to negative thinking, start thinking positive. If you are a person that drools at the thought of gossip, just start praying for people instead of talking about them. What I'm talking about tonight is just making some little changes, but those little changes have big results. Just like turning the dial on the radio. If you just turn it a little bit, you're going to lose the station that you were listening to, or it's going to become unclear. But if we just make little changes in our hearts right now, tonight, God will meet you, and he will help you, and he will bless you, and he will cause you to be fruitful. Let that river flow tonight. As you decide in your heart, young people, decide to get hungry for God. I was 12 years old when God came into my life, when I invited him in, and he was real to me. He talked with me. He showed me things in his word. You can walk with God. You've got to make a decision, though, that you're going to follow him no matter what. Say, I'm going to follow Jesus wherever he may lead. So right now, Father, we just thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, each one of us know changes that we have to make. They could be small, they could be big. Let's make those changes tonight. Make the changes in our heart. Make the changes in our mind. And start putting your body in the right direction. Oh, we just bless you, Lord. We thank you for your mighty presence tonight as you refresh us and as you bless us. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're being made free. We're being made full. And we just let your grace come upon us. God will give you great grace. With grace, you can conquer any enemy. You can overcome any mountain. You can overcome any obstacle. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen? Nothing is impossible. He'll do great things for you. Father, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, that I ask you right now, Father, for your anointing to touch our minds. Lord, give us a fresh and new anointing in our minds. Father, let us replace bad images with your good image in the name of Jesus. Father, let us resist the appetites and desires of the flesh. And Lord, let us have a full passion for the appetites of your Spirit. Father, let us pray more. Let us read your word more. Let us worship more, Father, in the name of Jesus. If you don't have time for God, you better change something on your schedule. You must take time with God every day. However time you need, you must read his word. You must pray. You must talk with him. You must spend time in his presence. And let your mind be renewed. He'll give you wisdom. He'll direct you. God is awesome. He's incredible. Our goal is to be like Jesus. He's our pattern. He's our model. And really, you know, what would Jesus do in this situation? That's what we need to ask ourselves. What would Jesus do? You know, how does Jesus love people? How does Jesus honor people? How does Jesus handle authority? He said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." That's how he handles authority. He said, "I do nothing of my own. Everything I do pleases the Father." Maybe there's just been an area that you've not been pleasing to God. You don't have to continue not pleasing him. You can start pleasing him. Young people, you really need to focus on the Lord right now. You got to start resisting the devil now. Because he'll try to lead you down a dark path. A dangerous path. But you can overcome him. Oh, God is so good. He loves you so much. He's got such good plans for you. He wants to bless you and lead you and guide you and show you great things. Hallelujah. Let him be your guiding light. Let's be the best representative of Christ that we can be. Let's take what we know about God and start walking in it and expect him to give us more. Do what we know to do and then learn from him to do more. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit who leads and guides us. Father, thank you for your love. You love us so much, Lord. You're so patient with us. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Without your grace, Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Lord, did you get something out of this tonight? The Bible has a lot to say about our minds and our thoughts. And maybe next week we're going to get into some more aspects of our mind. Amen? So glad that you guys came out tonight. And kids, you were awesome being in here with the adults. I know we may not be as fun. But every once in a while, you know, broccoli and cauliflower is good. Amen? So the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and be gracious to you. In Jesus' name, have a great night.